No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. On the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard, it's a big day. We got a soccer game. You know, we got the Junction Jam today. In addition to that, you know, getting ready for College Station coming to Starkville. Watch your Bulldogs and the Aggies play tomorrow. I will be at Bookmart and Cafe downtown tonight. I was only supposed to sign on Saturday. However, by popular demand, I will be there from around 4 o'clock until the end of the Unwind event in downtown Starkville. So if you're in town needing to get new copies of The Dude, which was delivered yesterday, how cool is that? And so I'll be signing at Bookmart and Cafe this evening from around 4 until it's over, and then from 9:30 to 1 on Saturday before the game, and then Sunday 11 to 3. Yeah, book release weekend, so we're going to make ourselves available to you as often as we can. Next week I'll be at Campus Bookmart, and books are available locally. They will distribute out now to other vendors around the great state of Mississippi, but you can get copies of The Dude right now at Bookmart and Cafe, Campus Bookmart, The Lodge, and Maroon and Company, and there'll be more. Obviously, we'll be at Lemuria Books and some other bookstores around the state, and if you're interested in carrying the book, please hit me up. I can connect you with those that can handle that. Now, online orders, as you can imagine, it's gone crazy. It's been absolutely crazy, and so all of the pre-order books are all that's in. All that's in. It's a limited edition and the regular stock. Everything is in. And so I've gotten all of the limited edition signed. And we've gotten started on the regular stock. And I will head back down to Madison on Sunday following the signing and sign the rest of the stock for you guys that ordered the standard edition. And a lot of people are asking, no, there are no limited editions available for you to purchase. I'm sorry. It's limited for a reason. So it's going to take them a few days to kind of process all these orders. You know, they've got mailing labels printed and things like that. But as you can imagine, with a book of this historic nature, the demand has been extreme. And so I'm just going to ask you, be patient. You know, give it a few days, and they'll get those things in the mail for you, because you could imagine it's a big undertaking. You know, when those books come in, because a lot of you have been eagerly anticipating them for a while. So again, give them a few days to kind of get those things processed. I know you want it immediately. I understand. But for those of you that live out of state, kind of around the state, you know, you're going to get the book delivered to you. And so, and if you have any questions about that, please contact them on the website. But I also encourage you to be patient with a response on that, because of the fact every spare moment that they have is being spent on processing these orders and getting them out. Now, you can still order online. A lot of people have asked me about that. Yes, you can always order online. Go to dutynoblebook.com, and everything ordered through the website will be signed. Will be signed, yeah. And we're already thinking about the next book now. But I'm going to enjoy this for a while. And so not only when you come to Starkville this weekend, do you need to pick up a copy of The Dude or 10 or 20, You need to float. And we've got some availability left, even though it is a pretty busy schedule already. There is some slots available at True Rest Float Spa of Stargell. That's my wife's business. You can speak directly to her at 662-268-7601, 662-268-7601. Or you can just book online through the True Rest app. But if you have questions or comments, Dana's happy to help you with that. It is a mom-and-pop operation. It's not something that we bought, just kind of invested in and letting other people run it. It is my wife's passion, and she is there every day. And so other days, yeah, I'll go up there and relieve her and kind of let her give a bit of a break, but probably haven't had the chance to do that as much as I'd like to. But many of you will get a chance to know her, and it's been so incredibly special to me that so many people have hit me up and say, Steve, Dana's great, and I agree. She's great. She's amazing. That's why I married her. But also, too, it's been nice to see her kind of get some notoriety from this. And we're helping a lot of people, too. A lot of people have even come in kind of skeptical. It's like, you know, Steve, I've tried everything else. Let me try this. And they walk out and they're like, you know, Steve, this is amazing. You know, and so it may be amazing for you. So if you're a person that suffers with chronic pain or perhaps anxiety or stress, or maybe you just need to give yourself a break. And we all need that. We talk about making time for ourselves, and what do? We go sit in our beds, and we get on our phones, and we have a TV on. There's a million things going on, and your mind is still at work. This is an opportunity for you to rest your mind and give your mind a bit of a break. You'd be amazed at how much better you'll feel. Maybe we can help you if you're struggling with those problems. And so again, if you're looking to float this weekend, you need to book. You probably need to make a call today. Of course, if you're not going to the game, there's some probably availability during the game. But again, it's a busy schedule, but there is some availability. Again, 662-268-7601. But I will share with you guys too, you know, back to the book for a second. You know how incredibly proud I have been to write this book. It's been my honor to write this book, and it's taken about 11 months from kind of deciding, okay, what would a biography of Duty Noble look like? How could we kind of frame that up? Are there any family members out there that can cooperate? Well, of course there were. You know, what kind of access do I get from the university? You know, what kind of partnership do we get in all this stuff? And so that all started right after Zach Garnett was fired last year, ironically, after the A&M game. And so about 11 months from the moment, the eureka moment, we're like, hey, I should write this book, until now it's available for you to purchase. And yesterday was an incredibly proud day for me. 12,000 consecutive days without getting drunk or high, you know. And that doesn't mean that I nip every now and again. No, I mean, it's a program of complete abstinence for me. And I do not partake in alcohol or drugs. And so I share that with you because I think it's so incredibly important to be transparent about that. I talk about that on the show. But 12,000 is a big number, you know, and it's I only started, you know, celebrating the round numbers in recent years, because when you get into the thousands, you know, it's the things you think about. You know, it's quite a milestone. And so I share that with you because there was a time in my life that none of this seemed possible. None of this seemed like a reality. I mean, I didn't make plans, you know, for next week because I didn't know if I was going to be live next week. And so I share that with you because if you are a person that is struggling, and maybe it's not drugs or alcohol, maybe it's depression, maybe you've just been down in the dumps, maybe you're one of these kind of people where it's like, life did not go the way I expected it to go. And so I'm disappointed and disenfranchised in many respects. I'm here to tell you that there have been a lot of people, of course, that, you know, they dance in the streets, man, when your good friend and host got arrested. They did. And that's one of the reasons I left my hometown, to kind of get a fresh start. I always had plans on leaving anyway. But I thought, you know what, I'm getting out of here. I'm getting away from these people. I'm going to start my life over again. You have the same power, and maybe you don't have to move to do it. But the move we make is within ourselves. It's true. If you want better opportunities in life, then improve yourself. And that can be dating, job-related, whatever. Work on yourself first. You know, you're not a finished product. And whenever we start beginning to think that, that's when all of a sudden, hey, well, I thought things were great for me. You always have to keep progressing. And so I hope in some respects that maybe you've learned a little bit from me about that sort of thing. But I can tell you, I look at myself when it comes to recovery as a person that has been a champion in recovery. And that's not just because of the fact that I've been able to maintain a life without chemical substance abuse in my life, but to be an advocate for those who suffer and to be a beacon of hope for those that maybe you're a family member and you've got somebody in your life and you think, you know what, I'm going to lose them. And you know what, you may, but you can fight to keep them. And I can tell you, I'm living proof that if you're willing to take necessary steps, you can change your life. And maybe it's you one day that has the show and the website and, you know, or writing the books, or maybe better than that. You know, maybe you take this far beyond I ever could. And that's kind of my hope, right? And real quickly, I'll share with you, you know, one of the things that I've read recently, and I do some reading besides sports because there's a spiritual experience to all this. I'm not going to get religious on you, but to believe that there is a purpose behind all of this, and it's not just going down the rabbit hole and then experiencing life and being a partaker in life rather than being a participant. But I've read something recently, and if you've read this, I'm not going to cite it, but it's about like our children, right? You know, I talk to them all the time, and I have throughout their lives about times that they did not experience, in hopes to prepare them for times that I will not experience. That's part of our job as parents, right? You know, is to prepare them for what's next. Because, you know, their lives are their lives and their thoughts are their thoughts. You know, and we can't live their lives for them. And I don't want my children to always think as I do. Because there are times that I've got some antiquated thinking about things. And so I share them my experiences, and then I hope that it prepares them for their experiences down the road. And you know, that's just one of the things that kind of struck me. It's like, you know, your children are not truly your own. While they pass through you, they're not of you. If that makes sense. You know, it's life in and of itself fighting to survive itself by granting the gift of life to others. It's very philosophical and very profound. And so I love each and every one of you. And so many of you have offered so many encouraging words over the years, whether it be subscribing to Gene's page, telling me you love this show, buying the books. I mean, we certainly have a lot of hooks in the water, but, I couldn't do any of this without you. It's true. I mean, what's the point of me sitting here behind this mic 3 days a week and putting all these notes together and talking about all these things if you're not listening? You know, I don't just do it to exercise my vocal cords. I do it because you have found some measure of value in all this. And, of course, you know, people always ask me, Steve, how can we support you? Well, you can subscribe to Gene's page. You can buy the books and you can share the show. There's so many ways we do it. But, again, I look at my life, these 12,000 days of continuous sobriety, as a victor, not a victim. You know, I don't see that, okay, well, I was afflicted with this and I've got to live the rest of my life being different from my fellows, right? I look at it as a gift in some respects. And I remember it was Lynn Cook, Logan Cook's dad. When you think about when the bottom falls, there's always these moments before you write a book, you're like, hey, okay, I got to do this. I was sitting across Lynn Cook's desk a few years back, and Lynn got all emotional. He was talking about my path to sobriety. Of course, Lynn's from Columbia, Mississippi. And he said, Steve, it's you have a sojourner's truth. You have, you know, you're a sojourner. He gave me this whole parable that he'd heard about. You know, it's like you travel out and, you know, there's these people that they travel out in the desert and, you know, they know where all the water and holes are, but maybe they don't fully prepare and they die in the desert. And there are those people that maybe have all the supplies but don't know the way and they get lost and they die in the desert. And then there are those people that not only can they, you know, traverse the desert, they can tell other people how to do it too. And he got all emotional and he said, you know, Steve, that's you. You're the sojourner. And it struck me, you know, and it stuck with me because I have an obligation to share the path with other people. And so I just wanted to celebrate 12,000 continuous days of sobriety. It feels like 12,000 years sometimes. But miracles happen. They do. And I share that with you because if there's somebody that you love that is dealing with this, or perhaps you are dealing with this, there is an opportunity for you to get help and change your life. Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsor of this show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company. I told you I partook of Bulldog Burger Company this earlier this week. I'm going to do it again next week. And, man, I love the fact, too, it's like this is a part of a family of restaurants that it's just Starkvillian institutions, man. It's like you don't even think about coming to Starkville without thinking, where are we going to eat? You know, well, the Eat With Us group kind of makes it easy for you because they want you to come eat with them. And Bulldog Burger Company has just been a rising star within that family. And a lot of it's because you guys have responded. And you wouldn't keep going if you didn't love it. I love it, man. I do. Every time I think, hey, you want Bulldog today? Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Anytime people come to town and say, hey, Steve, I'd like to take you to lunch. Where do you want to eat? Let's meet at Bulldog. Yeah. Not only is it because I enjoy it, because I enjoy turning people on to that. You get an opportunity to go eat at a great place that really, you know, is part of the Starkville quilt. You know, it's the fabric and what kind of holds us together here. I love that place. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. I can't get enough spring rolls. It's one of the reasons I've been able to keep this youthful exuberance. But also, too, there's great restaurant quality hamburgers, whether it be the Bulldog is where I would start. Like if you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, then there's nothing wrong with that. I would start with the Bulldog. It's a great introductory, a gateway burger. But you know what? If you're one of those kinds of people who likes to live on the edge, maybe you want to go with the Mission. Maybe you want to go with the Good Morning Burger. Maybe you want the Smokehouse, the Pimentology, add bacon. That's the official Boneyard burger of choice. I don't even like pimento cheese sandwiches, but I love that Pimentology burger. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get the chocolate shake to go when you leave. You ride that ride home with a smile. Yeah, put your feet under their table. Let them take care of everything else. You can go a lot of places to eat, but you know what? You're not going to find one better than Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's talk a little bit about the weekend ahead of us. Kind of a busy schedule, as you guys know. And I'm a Mississippi State guy, but I'm a fan of the league. I mean, we live in the greatest football conference in America. And sometimes I think that we take that for granted. You know, if you don't believe me, just at night, flip on over to the Pac-12 and see those games. It's terrible. Nobody even comes out. I mean, it's a religion here in the South. But we're going to have brunch together. Auburn at Missouri. This could be one of the better games of the weekend. Now, I don't know what Auburn has done in the open date to kind of correct their quarterback issues and the fact that they're having, you know, maybe Hugh Freeze needs to go get a JUCO quarterback, right? That was the formula at Ole Miss, right? Bo Wallace, Chad Kelly. I mean, you've went and got some guys that were, you know, D1 bounce backs. Not as many of those guys these days with a transfer portal, but, you know, maybe, just maybe, that's what Hugh Freeze needs to do. Forget the portal, forget high school recruiting, go get the JUCO quarterback. And because let's make, you know, what was the other kid's name? You forget, you know. But he had the other kid from Hawaii, but I forget. But there was a time there that Hugh Freeze may have been the best junior college quarterback recruiter in the country. Found guys that fit his scheme. But, you know, I have a tough time expecting Auburn to go on the road and face a Missouri team. It's really kind of, you know, Missouri's not a playoff team. And we all kind of knew that at the beginning of the year. We knew they'd be a good team. They're ranked 19th in the country. But, yeah, 11 a.m. on the road. Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. I think you got to go the toss-up team, right? The toss-up traditionally favors the home team. In addition to that, who has a better quarterback? Well, I think 9 out of 10 experts would agree, if not 10 out of 10, it's got to be Mizzou. I don't know if you guys have kept up with this. We're fans of the league here. Guys, Missouri and Auburn have only played 4 times in history. Were you aware of that? And again, we talk about how important it is to have the schedule rotation. Yeah, because Mizzou joined the league in 2012. And they have played Auburn 3 times, one of those in the SEC championship game. So there's only been 2 regular season meetings since they joined the league. That's crazy, man. It makes no sense whatsoever. Is Missouri even part of the SEC if they don't have to go play at Jordan-Hare? or go play at Bryant-Denny or play at Sanford. You know what I'm saying? It didn't make a lot of sense. And so, again, just more evidence why we needed to make a change. It's just incredible to think that you could join the league in 2012, and here it is 2024, and you have made one trip to Auburn. And you're in the same league. Makes no sense. Auburn leads the series 3-1. The last time these two played was back in 2022 in Auburn. Auburn wins that game 17-14. You may recall Missouri had the game won, and as the running back crossed the line there, he fumbled just short of the goal line, and it rolls into the end zone for a touchback. That was the Brian Harsin, when everybody was ready to get rid of Harsin, you know, all of a sudden that they find a way to beat Missouri, and it prolonged it a little bit. But that's one of the first orders of business when John Cohen got there, was to find Brian Harsin. But these games have been interesting. You know, two of them have been in the postseason. First meeting was back in 1973 in the Sun Bowl. Missouri won that game. The SEC championship game in 2013. Remember that when Mizzou showed up, they're like, they started winning the East regularly, and like, this is going to be great. And then it's kind of regressed since then. But Drinkwitz kind of got them in the right area, in the right direction here. But again, you look back and say, you know what? This series should probably be 2-2. Probably should be 2-2. But that's, hey, that's a game. That's the rules of football, right? That's the game. And Missouri blew it. It is what it is. We're taking Missouri this week, though, and we'll take the 4 points. South Carolina at Oklahoma. The line has kind of been interesting with this one.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
South Carolina is favored by 1 at OU. And I think a lot of that is just because of the fact people aren't sure what to expect from this Oklahoma offense. Now that Jeff Labby's not there, things are just not going well. And you begin to start asking yourself, too, is Venables in trouble? I don't think this year, but probably next year. But there are clearly some people You know, after getting absolutely roasted last week by Texas, and we expected that. But, you know, it's like one of – it's think how we feel, too. It's like even if you expect Ole Miss to win the Egg Bowl, but when they do, when the reality of that, I mean, it kind of sets in, it really, really upsets you. And so now you start thinking, hey, our rivals, Texas, are number one in the country, and they absolutely destroyed us. So, you know, kind of what's happening there. And you look at South Carolina. We didn't think this was going to be a great year for South Carolina. Begin to kind of wonder a little bit about, you know, Shane Beamer's future there at South Carolina. We love Shane. Shane's an incredible guy. And the Gamecocks are favored by one in Norman. And that's one of those things, too. I mean, the guys in Vegas that make these lines, you know, they don't have a rooting interest. They're just trying to get betting action on both sides of the deal. But the fact that the inaugural meeting between South Carolina and Oklahoma is a game that Oklahoma's an underdog in. It's tough, man. At the beginning of the year, we kind of thought Oklahoma would be a 7-5 team. South Carolina could potentially be a 5-7 type team. It's a big ball game. Oklahoma's got to figure it out. Who knew, man, that this quarterback situation in Oklahoma would deteriorate as rapidly as it has? Pretty nuts, man. It really is. But I think Oklahoma finds a way to get it done at home. It's so difficult to win on the road in the SEC. And the South Carolina offense is so herky-jerky. I never know what to expect from one week to the next. That game's going to be on the SEC network. And it's 11:45 kick. But let's take Oklahoma. And isn't it weird to say? It's a minor upset. Oklahoma over South Carolina. Two unranked teams here. All right, Alabama at Tennessee, the third Saturday in October. And, man, that date held this conference hostage in multiple sports forever and a day because we had too many Alabama people within the leadership of the Southeastern Conference. It's true. And for forever and a day, the Alabama-Tennessee game meant absolutely nothing to anybody not rooting for Alabama or Tennessee. And then, again, the entire conference held hostage for that, you know. We talk about changing some things from the old guard. That's one of those things that needed to happen. They can continue to play, but that's one of the big reasons to change in this schedule rotation was so important. Again, think about that. Missouri has only had one trip to Auburn in a dozen years just so Alabama and Tennessee could maintain this, quote, rivalry. Right? It's so selfish and self-serving. And I don't know if you forgot this. Maybe you did, but from 2007 to 2021, Tennessee didn't win a game in this, quote, rivalry. I've ranted about this before. And then, of course, Hendon Hooker and those guys get the upset in Knoxville in 2022. It's huge for them. Last year, Alabama kind of holds serve at home, 34-20. But as we discussed on this show, do you trust Alabama right now? I would venture to say you probably don't. And Alabama's favored in Knoxville by 3. Alabama was favored to beat Vanderbilt to death. They were favored to easily cover against South Carolina and didn't. Something is not right in Tuscaloosa. We can all see it. And a lot of these Alabama guys, they got to lock in now, you know, because you got to go to Knoxville. And Alabama ranked 7th, Tennessee ranked 11th. And all of a sudden, Tennessee starting to have some offensive problems. And I don't know that we anticipated that, but, you know, you look up, you know, people act like, you know, Tennessee is just kind of an also rank. They're 5-1. And the lone loss, of course, came to Arkansas, and they kept shooting themselves in the foot. But give Arkansas a lot of credit. They made the plays to win the game. But all of a sudden now, you know, these last 3 weeks, you know, like beginning of the year, granted, you're playing non-conference competition. You always expect with a step up to get into SEC play, you know, the scoring margins are going to come down. But I didn't think they'd come down this much. The last 3 weeks, Tennessee has scored 25, 14, and 23 points. This is an offense, beginning of the year, was among the nation's leaders in scoring offense. So granted, some good defensive coaches We've kind of seen some things, and you know, Alabama's got some good defensive coaches too, but this Alabama defense has been so up and down. I'm going to call Tennessee. I'm going to give me Tennessee, and I think the Knoxville folks will turn out. I think it'll be Neyland Stadium will be rocking. And again, I think I trust Tennessee more than I trust Alabama. I do. Texas A&M, Mississippi State, we talked about this on Wednesday's show. I expect State to cover. The line is all the way up to 18 now, which I think, you know, if you are a gambler, this is great. But I don't bet money on Mississippi State sports. But I like State to cover, but I do think A&M wins. That's how I see it today. And, you know, I've got some final thoughts that we'll share with you a little bit later in the show. LSU at Arkansas. We talked about this recently. It has been a weird, weird series. I don't know what it is about Sam Pittman, but for some reason, he can get his guys up to play LSU, and it doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter how great LSU is playing. It doesn't matter how bad Arkansas is playing, but Sam Pittman has been able to get the Razorbacks up in recent years to really give LSU trouble. Again, I don't know what you recollect, but the last four ball games between LSU and Arkansas during the Sam Pittman era, that encompasses the entire era, every one of those games has been won by 3 points. So we should expect a tight ball game, right? Yeah, look, 34-31 last year in favor of LSU, 13-10 in Fayetteville in 2022. Arkansas wins down in Tiger Stadium 16-13-21. And then in 20, the first year of the Sam Pittman experience, 27-24 in favor of LSU. Before that, the games were a little more lopsided. Yeah, 2018 game was somewhat competitive, and that's Chad Morris, you know. But LSU kind of have dominated this run for a while. But you got to think at some point, LSU's going to kind of get the running shoes on and kind of get away from Arkansas. But Arkansas, again, defensively this year, maybe better than people expected. LSU is a 2.5-point road favorite, and I'm going to take the Tigers here. I think Tigers getting over the Ole Miss hump last week was big. But, again, it's kind of for some reason LSU, when they go to Fayetteville, I don't know if they just, you know, take this game for granted. Of course, it used to be the, you know, the Battle of the Boot. They try to make these games out to be something more than they are, but that was always the Friday after Thanksgiving. And so maybe changing the date of this game might change the outcome. That's going to be an ESPN game, 6 p.m. And so we'll get done with our game. We'll run home and watch that. You guys are excited for that. But, again, we'll take the Tigers. Ball State is at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt now nearly a 4-touchdown favorite. And I don't know if you guys kept up at Ball State this year. I don't know if you're big fans of the MAC or not. I know a lot of people just like to have something to watch. Ball State is 2-4 on the year. They win their opener against Missouri State and drop four in a row to Miami, Central Michigan, James Madison, Western Michigan. And then they get Kent State 37-35 last week. And now you head to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's got it going right now. Now, offensively, they weren't great last week, but you saw what they did to Alabama. And I think that they'll be able to do that against Ball State. I'm going to take Vandy and the points in Nashville to win that game. And I was on a couple of shows yesterday, and one of the things that, you know, we talked about is the resurgence of Vandy football. Did you ever see this happening? No, I didn't see this happening. But now you start thinking, you get the win this week, it gives you five. As we discussed on Wednesday, you win this week, you're in a good position to get to a bowl game. How great would that be? And I hope they don't just send them to Nashville. All right, Georgia at Texas. This is the marquee game of the week, not just in the SEC, but in the country. Having seen both of these teams play in person in recent weeks, I like Texas. Now, one thing that I will share, I don't think the atmosphere in Texas is what a lot of people make it out to be. And I had this discussion with some Aggie guys yesterday from Gig'em 247. Kyle Field is insane when they're rocking. You know, we went up there and won Will Rogers here a couple years ago, and it was absolutely insane. It was the closest thing to Tiger Stadium. Texas, much different scenario. It's not nearly as loud there. I thought Sanford Stadium was pretty loud last week, and it's in an enclosed press box, but you kind of get a sense. You know, the atmosphere is maybe at Texas is not what Georgia will be used to. Going to LSU, going to Alabama, playing at Tennessee. I think it's going to be, you know, they'll handle the atmosphere just fine. I just think Texas is a better ball team. And maybe by not much, but again, we go back to the toss-up. The toss-up games tend to favor the home team. And then you look at who has the better quarterback. Well, Texas. Texas does. I think Carson Beck is a really good player. He's got a lot of arm talent. I don't think he is a great decision maker. And I think this Texas front is going to get in his face a little bit. And as you saw last week, I mean, you know, State, you know, picked off a couple of passes. You know, the one early in the game, Brandon Jennings deflects and Bryce Pollock picks it off. And then, you know, Diego Brumfield, great play for him to undercut a route there. But those things shouldn't happen. You know, I know it's part of the game of football, but I'm going to take Texas in the points. Texas favored by 4.5 now, the latest odds. But I think Texas. Now, Georgia could surprise me. I just don't think I when I left Sanford Stadium, like I went out there thinking, you know what, hey, we'll hang in here and cover, but man, Georgia's great. And they are really good. And I want to give us all the credit in the world for playing as hard as we did, but we lost the ballgame. I just think Texas is better. When I went to Georgia, I thought, you know what, this team's capable of winning an NFL championship. When I got in the car to go home, I thought, I don't think they can win it. And I don't. I don't think they can win it. I do think Texas can win it. I just don't think Georgia maybe has quite enough. Now, Texas is going to have to defend well on the perimeter, you know, because that's all Georgia's going to do. You know, they're going to dink and dunk and run these bubbles and bubbles and bubbles and bubbles, and then when you bring a safety up, they'll take a shot over the top. But, yeah, we'll take Texas in the points, 4.5 in favor of the Longhorns, and I think it's going to be a great game. It's 6:30 p.m. on ABC and the ESPN app. And the final game of the day, Kentucky at Florida. You know, for years, Kentucky couldn't beat Florida. I mean, it was such a big deal when they beat Dan Mullen, right? I mean, it was. And there were a lot of our fans that took a lot of glee in that development. But it was crazy. It was just kind of like an annual rite of passage that, you know, Kentucky could never beat them. Guys, Florida beat Kentucky 31 consecutive times. From 1987 to 2017, they dominated. It was crazy. Now you look at things in recent years, things have swung in the other direction. Kentucky's won 3 in a row. I mean, goodness, you win a lifetime without getting a win over Florida, and now you've won 3 in a row. Now, Kentucky is pretty much who we think they are. We thank them for beating Ole Miss. I don't think there are many big wins ahead for them. And I think now that Mark Stoops and them can't hide in the SEC East and enjoy those years of beating up on South Carolina and Vanderbilt, and at times Tennessee while they were down, they didn't maximize their opportunities. And I think you're going to see them really come back way down in the bottom of the pack here. But, again, Kentucky probably going to feel pretty confident heading to Gainesville. It's like, you know, hey, we went forever and a day without winning there, but we've won 2 of our last 3 trips to Gainesville. So they're not going to be intimidated. But I'm going to take Florida in this game. And, again, I think Napier's in a lot of trouble. But Kentucky is actually a road favorite, 1.5. I'm going to take Florida. I think Florida has better athletes. And I don't know what the atmosphere is going to look like out there. I don't know how many fans have checked out. I just think it's going to be difficult to win. Vandergriff was not good last week. And you never know which guy's going to show up. And it's so interesting, too. So many road favorites this week. South Carolina's a road favorite. Alabama's a road favorite. A&M, of course. LSU. And then Kentucky. So somebody's going to lose some money. But here are our picks. We're going to take Missouri to win and cover. We're going to take Oklahoma in the minor upset at home to win and cover. We're going to take Tennessee in the minor upset at home to win and cover. We're going to take State to cover against A&M, but A&M to win. We're going to take LSU as the road favorite to win at Arkansas. We're going to take Vanderbilt to win and cover over Ball State. We're going to take Texas to win and cover over Georgia. And then Florida and a minor upset at home. And Scott Strickland, these people are paying attention to these kinds of things. You know, they are. So that's my take on it. You may see it differently, but you know what? Hey, we've got our Gene's Page predictions over there. And I'm currently third. I've been second the whole year, and then Neil Stopchinski caught me last week. And so we have a lot of games that are in contrast in our picks this week. I've been chasing Nate Purvis the entire year. But I believe, you know, anything can happen any given weekend, as we've seen. The chalk doesn't always hold in college football. So let's be sure and kind of keep up with that. And we'd love for you to come be a subscriber at jeanspage.com, and you can tell us what we're right and what we're wrong. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair. B-L-A-I-R. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. When you have mortgage needs, look no further than Blair Chandler. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Guys, Blair's been in the industry 23 years. He has seen it all and done it all. There is not a non-conforming borrower or an atypical property that he hadn't seen, right? And so your situation may be a little bit unique, and you need to entrust your services with somebody that has years of experience to be able to get you to the closing table. Thus the name closewithblair.com. He will be your advocate with underwriting and construct loans in a way to give you the best chance for approval. A lot of people competing for your business. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. You can do so because Blair is a bulldog through and through, has a place here in town, and of course a season ticket holder in multiple sports. An incredible guy. Been my friend a long time. And I like to, you know, introduce my friends to you when we can. We're doing you a service here. Whether you're looking for a game day condo, whether you're looking for your first home or your next home, Blair Chandler can assist you with that and also gets you that very important pre-qualification letter. Need to get that. You want to see your real estate agent really kind of jump through hoops and get things rolling? Well, they know exactly the price range that you're looking for and what you can get financing for. They will get you into your new home. closewithblair.com. All right, the new Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class has been announced. You know my feelings about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Roy hit me up and said, hey, maybe we should do Ozzy. We've done Ozzy before. We may do it again. But the class has been announced. And so I want to go through my favorite artist. And one of these I don't really like. I'm just going to be honest with you. But I'm going to be respectful of some of you that do. As weird as you may be, but here are my top 10 artists and songs from the 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class. You know, my feelings, if you don't play rock and roll, you shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's my feeling. You may see it differently, and some people say, but Steve, what is rock and roll? Well, it typically involves guitars and long hair and loud volume, typically. Let's not complicate it. All right, number 10, a band that receiving an Excellence in Music Award. The first two artists are already in the Hall of Fame, but Musical Excellence Awards. It's MC5. You know, you wonder why they call it Detroit Rock City. It's because we had, you know, Grand Funk and all those bands that came out of there, and MC5 was part of that. They were so incredibly irreverent. They did things their way. And we're going to go with Kick Out the Jams, number 10. We'll get off on the right foot tonight. Number 10, MC5, Kick Out the Jams. Number 9, Jimmy Buffett. I know a bunch of you are parrot heads, got a lot of friends that love Jimmy Buffett. It's not really my thing, but how can you argue against Jimmy Buffett's inclusion in a Hall of Fame? And again, a Musical Excellence Award. I chose to go with Come Monday. It had been easy to go with Margaritaville, but we're going to go with Come Monday. Like that song a lot. Cheeseburger in Paradise is my favorite as a kid. It didn't make a lot of sense, but Jimmy Buffett, number 9. Number 8, a rap group that I have loved forever, and they're going into the hall, man. And if we're going to induct rap artists, A Tribe Called Quest, in my estimation, probably should have been a second or third ballot Hall of Famer. It shouldn't have taken this long. We always talk about, can I kick it? Well, yes, I can. But we're going to go with Electric Relaxation. Electric Relaxation. Great track from them. And young people, if you're into rap, and many of you are, and you don't know A Tribe Called Quest, you're doing yourself a disservice. There's a lot of these mumble rappers today and things like that. But you want to talk about great instrumentation, great lyrical content, and flow, right? Because a lot of people today don't have flow. But A Tribe Called Quest, man, legendary, legendary rap group. Again, Electric Relaxation, your number 8 track. Number 7, I don't like these guys at all. I mean, I kind of have them like with Green Day and Blink-182 and Nirvana, but they have a huge following. I have so many of you that listen to this show and you love them. And I don't begrudge you that. I'm not going to be a music snob about it, but I don't think the Dave Matthews Band belongs in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because it's not rock and roll. If you want to have the American Music Hall of Fame, then they certainly belong there. But we're going to go with the song Satellite from the DMB. And many of you love that. They play Ants Marching at times when we lose at Duty Noble Field. And I'm against that. All right, number 6. A young lady that continues to look very youthful, and it's Cher. And I was a kid when the Sonny and Cher variety show would come on television. And sometimes seeing Cher on TV kind of made you feel uncomfortable because she was so incredibly intimidating, so incredibly beautiful. Of course, she made a big comeback in the late 80s. If I Could Turn Back Time was a great song, also a great video. And a lot of people didn't like the video because it was somewhat suggestive, and I suggest you get over it. But I'm going to go back to the 70s with the iconic Cher classic, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. Great, great song. And, you know, Cher, you know, went to Hollywood to try to make it famous, and she did. It kind of helps when you have talent. When you have beauty and talent, you know, those agents typically find you. Number 5. When we talk about, you know, the godfathers of soul, we talk about, you know, that nobody really talks about the godmothers of R&B. But to me, if you were going to name that, you know, if you were going to say, hey, this woman is the godmother of R&B, it would be Mary J. Blige. And I love Mary J. Blige. I have from the very beginning. And one of the things, there's some authenticity with her. She's lived it. Absolutely love her catalog. You should too. And again, if we're going to induct R&B artists, Mary J. Blige probably should have already been in there. But congratulations to her and all of her fans. Our number 5 track today is Real Love by Mary J. Blige. And I hope it's you all have that within your lives. A lot of fake people out there. A lot of fake love. So when you find the real McCoy, I hope that you hang on to it. Number 4. I think I had 3 long play albums, which is what LP stands for, you know, long play, and of this band. And I remember how excited I was, like when you know, you'd have a song on the Casey Kasem or the Dick Clark Top 40, and you'd start rooting for that. We used to listen every weekend. You couldn't wait for that to come on, and you'd stay in your bedroom for hours on end listening to, you know, what the shit it was ranked, right? And then I got in the radio industry and got to vote in some of this stuff. And how cool was that? Yeah, super cool. And speaking of super cool, it's Cool in the Gang at number 4. And again, we'll reiterate this. Cool is not the singer. James J.T. Taylor was the singer during Cool in the Gang's heyday. Robert Cool Bell. Not Papa Bell. Cool Bell. The bass player and kind of the band leader wrote a lot of the great tracks. And we're going to go with a great song from the Emergency album that I had on vinyl, and it's Fresh. Because she's fresh, she's exciting. So inviting to me. And I love the fact, too, like these guys played their own instruments. There's none of this stuff like, I mean, you go back and you think about Kool & the Gang and the Gab Band and people like that. Like, they played their own instruments. Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know. It wasn't like people just singing to a track. These guys are real musicians. And again, not rock and roll. However, of the bands from that era, it's hard to argue against Kool & the Gang. So if we're going to put top 40 acts in there, Kool & the Gang should have already been in there. Kool & the Gang is incredible. And it's not just celebration. And that song is so overplayed. And that's when, again, we played it at Duty Noble, and I wish we wouldn't. Let's play something else. But Fresh from Kool and the Gang. Love that track, man. And started to go with Get Down on It. You can like that one, too. Number three. A lot of people have argued against this artist's inclusion into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for years. They didn't think the catalog was extensive enough. I disagree. I think Frampton Comes Alive is probably one of those albums that everybody in the late 70s, early 80s had. And you say, well, you know, Steve, it's just a live album. Yeah, it's a celebration of a catalog. And there's so many great songs to choose from. Peter Frampton, an incredible songwriter, and Peter's not in good health. I'm glad that we're able to get this thing done. And we're going to go with Show Me the Way for our number three track, because I want you to show me the way every day. Number two, some controversy about this, not their inclusion, but the original drummer said he's not going to make the trip for the induction. All that stuff is so silly to me. You couldn't get along for, you know, a couple of hours. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't make a lot of sense. But it's Foreigner, and we're going to go with one that it's a famous track, and it's also one of those things compositionally is different than everything else in the catalog. We're going to go with Hot Blooded. I put Cold Blooded. Roy will catch that, I'm sure. But it's Hot Blooded. Check it and see. I got a fever of 103. Let me text Roy. Make sure he knows, and he'll listen to the show. I got cold as ice and hot-blooded, kind of, you know, juxtaposed. But nevertheless, Foreigner, an incredible band. And again, you go back to the beginning, you know, the name of Foreigner, because Mick Jones said no matter where they travel, because they were guys from different countries in a band together, that somebody would always be a foreigner. True. But number one, though, he's already in with Black Sabbath. Now he's in as a solo artist. It's Ozzy Osbourne. We did the Jake Ely list on Wednesday. Jake shared a message with the fans just yesterday. I don't know if you guys have kept up with this at all. I have paid special attention to this just because of the fact that Jake Ely is one of our heroes. Love Jake Ely. Glad that he's on the mend. And so, anyway, Jake posted yesterday, just the day after being shot three times, checking, is this thing on? Been a while since I posted here. Let's see. I deeply appreciate all the concern and well wishes. Makes everything going on a little better. To clarify, I was shot three times. I was on my way back home from walking my dog Coco. I didn't name him, so don't. Don't want to go into details now. I'm tired, but I feel relatively very lucky. The police found 15 shell casings at the scene, which means he emptied his clip on me. I could only dodge so many, so one bullet through my forearm, one through my foot, one in the back, which broke a rib and damaged the lung. Priority now is to keep draining my lung until it's done crying. Then we can pull the tube out and concentrate on the more minor injuries. And by the way, Coco's fine and appreciates all of your inquiries. So there you go. An update from Jackie Lee himself. But the peak years, in my estimation of the Ozzy Osbourne experience, were the Jake Ely years. And I know some people think that's sacrilegious, but record sales and notoriety, and of course it helped that MTV was a big thing then. But I'm going to go with a song from the Zakk Wylde era. That whole No Rest for the Wicked album is incredible to me. Randy Castillo on the drums, God rest his soul. We're going to go with Crazy Babies, number one. Crazy Babies. And I think it's Zakk Wylde's really kind of introduction into the hard rock world. I think you'll dig it if you don't know it already. So that's my top 10 from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2024. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. We have a bit of a backlog here, but if you come up with something great, then we may bump you up on our list. And there are sometimes two things that'll happen, like Jake Ely getting shot, that we have to kind of address and deal with. And so we do. But Jake, hope that you're feeling better. I know you don't listen to the show, but I believe in speaking, you know, words of positivity out into the universe, and maybe you'll feel the good vibes that are going your way. But I looked yesterday too, because like there was this great shirt years ago of Jake Ely and Ozzy, and it had, you know, like on stage, and I was like, man, I wonder if I could find that shirt. Maybe that's back in production. And I found one like on eBay for like $300. And I'm not going to spend $300 on a vintage T-shirt. It's not going to do that. But maybe you have one out there laying around. You know, maybe at your mom's house that you're willing to part with. Hit me up. I'd love to have that shirt. We wear XLs these days because it's broad shoulders. But all that understood, I'm very, very grateful that Jake has survived. And my hope is that maybe perhaps we can have a bit of a reconciliation of some sorts with Jake and Ozzy. I was incorrect. I said on Wednesday's show that they had paid Jake his royalties for Bark at the Moon. They have not. And a lot of people have come out and said, hey, you know, Ozzy shared his well wishes about Jake. And everybody's like, hey, if you really feel bad for Jake, then have Sharon give him his money. He could probably use it right now. And so maybe there'll be some type of reconciliation. And my hope is maybe when Ozzy takes the stage to celebrate his induction, that maybe perhaps Jake Ely can be there for a song. Wouldn't that be great if Jake showed up and played Bark at the Moon? And not just the reconciliation, but maybe it's time to give Jake his money. So there you go. You can find our great list on Spotify under the Dogmatic67 handle. That's DAWGMATIC67. And, of course, Roy's also on Twitter, X, under the same handle. And basically all he tweets out is kind of our list and Mississippi State-related content. He's not going to send you a picture of his dog or his food or anything like that. So maybe consider giving him a follow. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. I love going in there. I love doing business with them. I love the fact that we have turned so many of you on to Campus Bookmart. Maybe you were somewhat, unfamiliar with them when they first started advertising with us. Man, they've been with me now forever and a day, it seems. If you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, look no further than Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job making sure that they keep that store stocked with the latest and greatest Mississippi State merchandise. We're looking for apparel, knickknacks or gift items, you can find it. You can find something for every Bulldog on your wish list or on your Christmas list at Campus Bookmart. So when you're in town this weekend, swing by, check them out, pick up some books, and outfit yourself too. Don't forget about yourself, right? Don't just go buy for everybody else. Reward yourself every now and again. They're going to find something that you're going to love there at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps you live in the mission field beyond the great state of Mississippi, you can visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That'll get you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, tonight, this evening, shall we say, Mississippi State soccer will be in action in Oxford. It's the Magnolia Cup. It's going to be a deal where Bulldogs have a chance to win again. They call her Mags, the Magnolia Cup. The ladies love them, and the state has dominated the series as of late. Maybe you guys have kept up. Maybe you haven't. But there used to be a time when that was like the highlight of our season. If we could find a way to win the Magnolia Cup, that was just like the greatest thing ever. Well, these two programs are in completely different areas right now, and a lot of that's just kind of coming up, That's one of the most important things. Finding a way to improve your situation. And that's what's happened. Mississippi State and Ole Miss really in much different footings right now. State's won four in a row between the two teams. And look at some numbers here, too. State's got 28 goals on the year. Ole Miss just 18. So State's averaging just over 2.1. Ole Miss averaging 1.1. State's allowed 3 goals the entire year. Ole Miss allowing 1.7 per game. State's getting over 19 shots on goal per game. Ole Miss just 12. And for both of them, it's around 40% as far as being on frame. But Kaylee Kiefer and Kelly Brady lead Ole Miss with 4 goals apiece. Katie Ramston with 3 assists. But, that's going to be a fun game. And many of you may be out and about. And maybe if you're not in Starkville, I'd encourage you to maybe give the ladies a look tonight. as we look for number five. Yeah, pretty impressive season Mississippi State's having. And you can stream that game, your 12-1 Bulldogs. And you can stream that game on the ESPN app. It's going to be on the SEC Network Plus. So it will be streaming for you tonight. Everybody's kind of figured that out by now, right? Have we not? I think everybody kind of sees it for what it is now. All right, so looking at the standings heading into the weekend's action, Mississippi State and Arkansas are tied, and we'll repeat this again. It's based on conference points. Both State and Arkansas have 18. Arkansas, of course, has played one extra game in conference because we have not made up that rainout against South Carolina, a game that we fully expect to win, but you can't take anything for granted. So as it stands now, State and Arkansas are tied. It'd be great if we could get them to get a draw somewhere. I don't expect them to lose. If they can get a draw, you just get the 1 point for the draw. And if State can get a win, that would give us a 2 point differential. But of course, if Arkansas and State both win out, then State will be 3 points ahead of Arkansas in the standings and ultimately win the regular season championship for the Southeastern Conference. Something we've never done before. We've won the West before, but never the outright title. And so just behind us both is Auburn with 14 points, Texas with 13, South Carolina with 11, Georgia, Kentucky, A&M, and Vanderbilt all with 9, Alabama and Tennessee with 8, Missouri 7, who we defeated last week 5-0, and then LSU with 6, Florida with 5, Oklahoma 4, and Ole Miss with 1. They did pick up a draw last week. But again, when you start looking ahead here and start thinking about what Mississippi State has in front of them, you know, this game against Ole Miss, it's a rivalry game. It's going to be good to get us locked in, and it's so interesting talking to our coaches there. It's like, hey, we just want to win 1-0. We just want to get a W. We don't need the great margin of victory, but I think our fans would like to see us, kind of take out a little bit of, revenge, I guess, to say, just because it is a rivalry game. But we will be in Oxford tonight. That's going to be 7 p.m., and many of you will be at the Junction Jam, too, so maybe you can go home and watch it later. But Bulldogs back in action on our home pitch Thursday, so a week from yesterday, 6:30 kick against Kentucky. And that's going to be the last home game of the regular season. And then we'll head to College Station, Texas that Sunday. Of course, that is Arkansas football weekend, and a lot of soccer to be left to be played between now and then. Could be a scenario where State's in a position to clinch the SEC. Could be. But we got to, take care of some soccer between now and then. Again, got to take care of the Rebels tonight. And then even though Senior Day has already come, it'll be the last home game of the regular season. And if you're down around the panhandle of Florida, you're going to have the opportunity to go watch the SEC tournament, which will be at Ashton-Brosham Athletic Park in Pensacola. There used to be a time when that was our biggest goal, was just to make the SEC tournament. Now, of course, we're expected to be, big-time players in the NCAA tournament. I don't know if you saw the committee's numbers yesterday. They currently have Mississippi State seated fourth in their projected NCAA tournament field. That's from the committee. That's not just from the media. And so that's with three ACC teams ahead of us, Duke, North Carolina, and Wake Forest. Of course, Wake Forest, the lone team in the country to beat Mississippi State in soccer this year. So if that's something you're interested in, it's something to keep up with here in the next couple of weeks, some pretty important matches for the soccer team. And so what I would love for us to do is next Thursday night, because we're, again, still playing for something significant, let's see if we can't set another school record for attendance. Again, maybe the last chance many of us get to see them on campus this year. I mean, we do have some postseason stuff ahead of us. But, the only guaranteed home game the rest of the way is next Thursday against Kentucky. So if you're in the area or maybe you are going to be working in the area, let me encourage you to come out and support the ladies on the pitch next Thursday night. Okay, for those of you looking to attend the Junction Jam tonight, that's going to begin at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Central. It's free to attend. You are invited cordially to attend and have a chance to come, kind of take a look. Junction Jam tonight, 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow, open practice. You can come watch the men's basketball team practice from noon to 1 at Humphrey Coliseum. Now, that one might be cool too, right? I mean, a chance to kind of see them work. Yeah, it's an important aspect of this thing. So, also, the Junction Jam tonight, T-shirt giveaway for the first 1,000 students, and we're going to need you to wear those all year. Yeah, it's true. You get those Junction Jam shirts, and you wear them, and you get Mississippi State apparel, and you wear that too. It's been a good week for Mississippi State men's basketball. Mississippi State had gotten as high as third in the country in basketball recruiting rankings with the recent addition of top in-state prospect Jamarion Davis Fleming. Stayed now fourth nationally. Now, we don't expect to stay there, okay? We don't expect to stay number four because if we get closer to signing day, more schools are going to commit. That understood, guys, the state has 3 4-star players committed. Now, sources share with us a couple scholarships remaining. Could sign 2 more. Not exactly sure how they're going to use those scholarships yet. They're still considering all that. But you've got a couple spots to work with. And you look at what Chris Jans has done, you know, and all of a sudden, Chris has established a culture here. Chris has established an expectation to get to the NCAA tournament here. And players are responding. We've done really well in Texas. King Grace, a 6'5 shooting guard, by way of Faith Family Academy of Oak Cliff, rated 94, our top-rated player, currently considered the number 4 player in the state of Texas, is headed to join Mississippi State basketball next year. Jamarion Davis Fleming, we mentioned him, ranked the number 1 player in the state of Mississippi with a 90, which is a 4-star. He was the number 111th player in the country. Cameron Paul, a 6'6", 180-pound small forward, the number 9 player in the state of Texas, 27 in his position. And so you begin to look through this here. Obviously, we're doing a good job over in Texas. But again, a couple other spots left to fill. But how cool is it to look up there near the top of the rankings and see Mississippi State up there? So come out and support the Bulldogs of all varieties this evening as they take the court at the Junction Jam. I have no idea what to expect from all this. None whatsoever. Our Jacob Bain will be there to cover. So there's going to be a lot of activities. It's going to be fun for all. I encourage you again to go out and enjoy that. I think you'll be glad you did. And then for those of you that couldn't make it to town tonight, or perhaps maybe you couldn't make it out tonight, maybe you got dinner reservations, shoot on over to the Hump tomorrow around noon. You don't have to stay the whole time, but doors open at 11:45, and you enter through the Southwest Grand Lobby. You can go in there and watch a little basketball. And then when you're done, you know, go back out to your tailgate or head on over to Davis-Wade Stadium. And so if you were a game day driver, right, if you're just going to come in on game day, leave a little bit early. Traffic won't be quite as intense, but leave a little bit early. And then, hey, scoot on over there, watch the practice. The next thing you know, you get done with practice, where you're like 2 hours away from kickoff. And then you can mosey on over to the stadium and kind of get settled. And so we've got a lot planned for you. And again, don't forget baseball scrimmages too. Baseball scrimmage Friday, Sunday, and Monday. I will not be able to attend Friday or Sunday, but our Mike Nemeth will be covering. And so, a big weekend in Starkville. You want to come out and just kind of enjoy being a Bulldog. We kind of got you covered with that. And appreciate the university kind of doing some things that are special to kind of promote the men's basketball team and the women. And I know that there's some people around the country that have modest expectations. I think this men's team is going to prove to be pretty dangerous. I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. I really do. I think picking them 10th doesn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, we'll see how things go. And I think Chris Jans now in year 3, and, of course, you know, the leadership like Cam Matthews, you know, Josh Hubbard. I mean, you got some guys, you got some dudes that are back that know what it takes to get over the hump. We had some big, big wins last year. Expecting some big wins this year. And I don't know if they were any bigger than that win over Tennessee last year. You see what Dalton Connect is doing in the NBA these days? Crazy. Nuts. We play in a great league. We do. And I think that we're going to prove to be a very good team in a great league this year. And I think some people are going to use that 10th pick in the preseason is fuel for the fire as we kind of move ahead. And so again, your first look at your Mississippi State men's and women's basketball team this evening at the Junction Jam. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and you probably won't even believe your eyes. Their Facebook page will pop up for you, and you can peruse the fine amenities that are available to you and your guests only at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, kind of neatly tucked away, well off Highway 182. Just one neighbor out there, so you can have some peace and quiet. We don't want you throwing a rager out there, but you can get out there and just kind of have a good time and not have a lot of people interloping on your good time. Whether it's a family weekend, maybe you want mom to make those cinnamon rolls for everybody on Saturday morning on game day. Maybe you want to just tailgate there, not have to bring all your gear back and forth to campus. You know that can be a pain. Full-service kitchen available to you at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. That great back porch area, the fire pit, 5 bedrooms, 2 baths. I could go on and on. Some friends of mine have used it. They've loved it. So maybe you're bringing a work group to town. Rather than get 5 hotel rooms, maybe keep everybody under one roof. Make it a little bit easier when Bob sneaks away, right? Where'd Bob go? Oh, he's in his room. Well, he's not answering his phone, right? It'd be nice to be able to just go knock on the door and say, Bob, we need you down here for a quick meeting. And then you can have some time to yourself. But maybe it's just a recreational weekend. And maybe it's not even a ball game weekend. Maybe it's a holiday. Maybe thinking about New Year's Eve, a good place to spend it with friends and family. Think about the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You should. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to pop up for you. Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to the show. Business is booming for the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Book your stay today. Whether it be a couples weekend, college roommates weekend, family weekend, or a work week, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse can accommodate you. Again, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, so how do we win this weekend? Well, number one, I think this defensive front from A&M may be better than we saw against Georgia and better than we saw against Texas. So I don't know if we're going to be able to run the football with great regularity. We need to run it some. You know, we've come out in recent weeks trying to establish that. And I've shared with you guys, too, 6 consecutive weeks, Mississippi State has begun the game on offense. Maybe we shouldn't. You know, I don't know. But offensive-minded coaches typically want that. It's not that we've won the toss. We've just ultimately found ourselves with our opponents deferring to the second half. But all that understood, you know, I think we're going to have to get some semblance of a running game to kind of get those safeties to come up, to open up some things down the field. I do think this Texas A&M secondary can give up some plays. As I mentioned on Wednesday, they're kind of middle of the pack when it comes to pass defense. And, you know, you look some of that too. Some of these games for them have been very competitive. And when I look and think, you know, Arkansas was a team, but they can run the football. You know, they kind of pride themselves on being able to run the football. And they were not very successful in putting points on the board against this A&M defense. We're probably going to need a non-offensive touchdown. Whether that be a pick six, a punt return. Kevin Coleman says he's kind of tired of fair catching. And we've talked about A&M has one of the better punters in the country. That could prove to be an opportunity for Kevin Coleman. I don't think they're just going to pooch punt it. I think they're going to try to let it loose. You do what you do, right? You do what you do and you try to cover. And Kevin Coleman is extremely slippery, so maybe perhaps he gives us a short field or perhaps a score. But this is going to boil down to defense. I mean, listen, we know who Moss is. The guy's going to really, really be a good player. He has been the entire time he's been in College Station. So we're going to have to make somebody else beat us in that running game. We're going to have to fit some gaps. This offensive line from A&M is very good. You know, we've had some other teams we played that have had some struggles at time offensive line-wise. And so what I expect is for them to come out and try to establish the run and set up the play-action passing game with Connor Wegman. I don't think Connor Wegman's a guy there's going to be a lot of design quarterback runs for. That's not to say they won't insert Marcel Reed in certain situations with a package to kind of implement the quarterback run. That's important to understand. I do think this is going to be, if State is to win, it's probably a game that we're going to be a little more low scoring. I don't know that we put up 31 points against this defense. And again, the thing that I go back to is, you know, yeah, we put up some points in that fourth quarter against Georgia, but, you know, the game was already decided. You know, how many times have we played a team that basically in the third quarter, the edge kind of comes off a little bit because they gain some separation? We've got to stay within striking distance and get this game to the fourth quarter. We can't be in a situation where we're chasing the game. We get down 14-0 in the first quarter, it's going to be a long day at Davis-Wade Stadium. And so we need to survive the first quarter. I mean, if somehow you could get out of the first quarter with a lead and get the crowd engaged, that would be huge. And here's the thing, too. I mean, there's so much that's been put on our fans these days. It's like everybody's like, hey, we want you to buy tickets. We want you to turn out. I think there's a lot of excitement because we hadn't had a home game in a month. But we got to put up a good product on the field. That's an important aspect of this. You know, it's like how many times do you expect people to turn out and continue to come and spend, you know, their gas dollars and things of that nature? Yeah, you've already bought your tickets, but goodness gracious. I mean, it's gotten, you know, I think about it. I don't want to get political here too, but I remember, and many of you remember this too. You remember when the McDonald's combo was $2.99, right? And then all of a sudden it went to $5. And everybody kind of lost their minds. It's like, oh, it's $4.99 for a combo now? And now you can't go get a quarter pounder combo now for, it's right at $10, you know, to get the medium combo. And, of course, if you don't tell them you want a medium combo, they're going to charge you for the large, which is going to take it over $10. And just around the country, everything is up. It's been, you know, inflation's ridiculous. And then so now we turn to our fans and say, hey, we want you to give the NIL. We want you to come out here and be a part of game day. It is a commitment. And anybody that turns out and is part of our crowds at Davis-Wade Stadium or the Humphrey Coliseum or Duty Noble Field or the soccer pitch or volleyball or whatever, you are commended from this show for making the sacrifice to be there. Because I understand for working families and people that live paycheck to paycheck, it is quite a commitment for them to come be a part of things. And again, we're always asking for more. And we need more, and we need those that can afford to give more to give more. But the reality of it is that we're going to need a good crowd this Saturday, and we're going to need one next Saturday. You got three consecutive home games. And for many of you, you hadn't seen the Bulldogs in person since that Florida game when Blake Shapen was injured and lost for the year. That seems like forever ago and yesterday at the same time. Blake remains engaged with the team. He's still, you know, working through film, helping Michael Van Buren and Chris Parson prepare. I do think we probably see Chris Parson this week. I think you'll see more quarterback run stuff. Just to kind of give them something else to prepare for too. But, you know, the running game, when you use the quarterback, when you utilize that position, instead of it being 10 on 11, it's 11 on 11. And so you got one other guy you've got to account for. You can't just get downhill on the running back when you have to, you know, kind of be honest, and especially in the zone read thing. And Chris is a guy too that's a very talented guy. And a lot of people kind of wondering, you know, what's the future look like for Chris Parson? Well, we really don't know, you know. But, you know, keeping Chris engaged and part of this, I think, is a very important thing, not just for this year, but for next year. But if Michael Van Buren kind of emerges as the guy, you got to kind of wonder what Chris Parson's thinking. And obviously, Michael Van Buren, there's a lot of hype around him right now, and justifiably so. But I think we're going to need both of these quarterbacks to win this game. Not that Mike's not good enough to run some quarterback stuff. I think Mike, really more times than not, is the guy when things break down can go get you a first down. But I think there is a package that we can use for Chris Parson to kind of make these guys a little more honest in their endeavors. If they just pin their ears back and come after the quarterback, you know, it could be a tough night. Again, you know, Nick Scorton has been outstanding for Texas A&M. And that's a guy right over the middle. We've got to be able to kind of, you know, yeah, we got to block well. We only allowed the one sack last week, and it was negated by the face mask penalty. But that's, you know, with Mike going down. You know, Mike's just kind of ducking and covering there, kind of an inadvertent face mask, and that extends a drive for us. And it's one of the things you go back and look at that particular drive. There were a couple of big penalties that gave Mississippi State first down. Those are the rules of the game. But it's not like we just kind of methodically chewed them up on that drive. And so I share that because, in fact, we need to find a way to get some offensive rhythm going. And we need the crowd to be engaged throughout. And I know many of you will be thinking, you know what, hey, this thing is over at halftime. I'm going to head to the tailgate, head back to Fraternity Row. We'll get ready to go out and watch some college football somewhere else. I understand it. But the reality of it is we're going to need the crowd to be behind us. Because here's the thing, too. In tight ball games, Mississippi State and everybody else benefits from the home field advantage. We certainly need that. We have had some very memorable games over the years against Texas A&M. I touched on some of that earlier this week. But you go back and you think about, you know, Richie Brown. Immediately, what comes to mind is that 2014 game when Richie had three interceptions in the game. We hadn't had a Bulldog linebacker have many days better than Richie Brown had that day. And it's one of those crazy things. I mean, we were riding the wave, and it's like, man, you know, can we beat LSU? Can we beat A&M? Because, of course, at that point, a lot of people had Kenny Trill as the expected Heisman winner, and he got exposed against Mississippi State. They scored some points late to make that game look a little more respectable. But State wins that game 48-31. Downtown Freddie Brown with a big touchdown in that game, too. The next year, you know, 2015, we talked about that one too. That wasn't a great game for us. But, you know, 16, you know, kind of begins the Nick Fitzgerald era. And Nick owned Texas A&M as a starter. He absolutely did. And that 16 game, if you recall, you know, our season, for all intents and purposes, was over. And Texas A&M showed up ranked number four in the FBS playoff poll. They lose a quarterback. You know, Christian Kirk has a clip-aided punt return for a score just before the half. But for all intents and purposes, Mississippi State kind of dominated this game from start to finish. We got to stop early. And the next thing you know, Nick Fitzgerald, following the block of Farad Green there, takes the first offensive snap to the house. And really, State never really kind of looked back. And that's one of Dan Mullen's best coaching jobs during his time here at Mississippi State. Really no question about it. And then again, we go to A&M the next year, beat them 35-14, and it could have been worse. That game was not competitive. And then in 18, they come up here, and we get Kellen Mond again. Again, the big Errol Thompson interception in the end zone that leads to the final score when Nick Fitzgerald just gets loose there and runs up there and does the "Are you entertained?" post. But, you know, we have had some success against these guys. And, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we can't win the football game. I believe we can. I don't expect us to, but we certainly can. But we're going to need some help from them, and we're going to have to find a way to run the football and stop the run. I think our wide receiver room, and I've shared this on every show that I've been on this week over around Texas and around the SEC, Mississippi State's wide receiver room can run with any secondary in the country. It's just going to be a question of, you know, can we protect Michael Van Buren, you know, long enough, and can he deliver a pass accurate enough to really exploit people in a secondary? Because Kevin Coleman is an elite athlete. Kelly Akari, an elite athlete. Mario Craver, you're seeing the reason that he was an Under Armour All-American as a true freshman now, as it plays out. I mean, you know, he beats, you know, a four- or five-star type corner at the University of Georgia on a deep route. You know, these things are on tape. And that's one thing that Mike Elko said earlier this week. You know, the pass game, the deep passing game can be scary. That's why our pass protection has got to be on point. And if that means we have to keep a tight end in and then maybe use him as a check down if things break down, keep a running back in, you know, we're going to have to just give our guys an opportunity to get down the field because this is a defensive front that can ruin your Saturday. No question about it. And we're not just going to just sit back and be able to just, you know, pitch and catch. We're going to have to do some things to keep them honest. But you know, I'm tired of losing like everybody else, you know. I mean, we've lost five games in a row. We came from the Eastern Kentucky game. We were very optimistic and thinking, hey, we can go to Arizona State and win. And we didn't. You know, we had such a horrendous start offensively. And again, you look back at last week at the start against Georgia. I mean, yeah, we had a 3-0 lead, but that came obviously right after, you know, a batted ball that was picked that set us up in field goal range. But that drive went backwards too. We've got to find a way in these first quarters to get going Because what's happened for us is as the game has settled in and we've gotten more comfortable, we've been facing a deficit. And again, hey, you look up at Georgia at one time, we're down 13-10. And you think, hey, man, if we can get a stop, we can go score. And so I think the belief in the offense is beginning to kind of blossom. We're starting to realize, okay, we had to pivot and make a change due to an injury. And now we've got Michael Van Buren. We've got Mike in here now with two games on the road. He has an opportunity now to play at home. And he said at Dog Talk, they asked him, what are you most looking forward to about your first start at Davis-Wade Stadium? He said, I'm looking forward to a win. And, of course, the crowd goes nuts because we're eager to win too. Texas A&M loses the home opener to Notre Dame, and they've won five straight since then. This is a team that expects to win. But if they show up in Starkville, Mississippi, thinking, well, this is just a 1-5 team, we can go through the motions, they're going to get beat. If A&M doesn't come in here ready to play, Mississippi State is capable of beating them. He said, but Steve, they're 5-1 and ranked 14th in the country. I understand that. Again, A&M has brought some really good teams to Starkville, Mississippi, and gone home with a loss. And they're 2-4 now all time in Starkville. Well, that's going back to their time within the league. You know, we had some games, you know, in the infancy of the program against those guys. And, we played them in the Snow Bowl. But since they joined the league back in 2012, you know, they have not fared well in Starkville. And so that kind of becomes one of those things in the back of your mind. You can say, well, it's a new coaching staff. You know, it's a new team, and it is. But I think it's also important to understand, too, those things kind of become self-fulfilling prophecies. You know, all of a sudden, like going to Lexington, like we always talk about, it's just so weird to go into Lexington. And for some reason, Mississippi State has had A&M's number. Of course, State leads the series 9-8 all time. And one could make an argument we probably had a couple other wins in there, too, that we should have had. But all of that understood, I think State covers and probably loses, and I hate that. But we have three home games coming up, and we need to find a way to go 2-3. I mean, you know, to hear Seydou Traore say we're going to win out, I'm glad to hear that, you know, from our players, that they're confident. Just like, hey, things have kind of settled now with Mike having a couple of games under his belt. We have a homestand coming up with three games, and we feel like we're capable of winning those three games. And let's just kind of surmise here just for a second. Let's just kind of speculate. Let's say State wins the next three. Well, all of a sudden that makes you a four-win team, you know, and there's still the possibility of getting bowl eligible. And I know that, listen, I get it. We're putting the cart before the horse, but, you know, it would take, you know, Herculean strength for us to win these next three, but it all starts this Saturday. But if you find a way to win this week, you got Arkansas coming in next week, and they're a team that's kind of struggled at times to make things happen in Starkville too. Let's say you get that when you beat UMass. Let's assume you go into November on a three-game winning streak, and you finish up at Tennessee, Missouri coming in here, and then at Ole Miss. And based on what we have seen in recent weeks from Ole Miss, I'm not ready to concede that game, and nor should you be. So the chances of us becoming bowl eligible are pretty slim. We just need to win some games. We need to show down the stretch that we're improving as a program and that the foundation is going to be solid here at Mississippi State. Now, we've got some recruiting news, too, I want to share with you. Austin Howard, who committed to Mississippi State, flipped from Vanderbilt to State back in the camps and all that good stuff. We do expect him to flip back to Vanderbilt. Probably could happen as early as Sunday. And the thing about it is, if there is a place where you can absorb a decommitment, it's going to be at linebacker. Initially, the plan was to take three linebackers from the high school ranks and then a JUCO backer. Well, you've got LaKendra James, Tyshawn Willis, Tyler Lockhart, and A.J. Rice. They're all expected to be there. So I'm not going to sit here and just say, well, we don't want Austin Howard. We absolutely do. I think he's going to be a great player. But we were already kind of overcommitted by one, and so – you know, do we use that spot now in the portal to get a backer? Do we use that spot to get another prep player? I do think that we may sign another high school wide receiver. And if you go read the bones today, you can kind of get up to date on that. Of course, that's a regular feature on jeanspage.com. But, we don't have a ton of official visits set for in season because we don't have a ton of visits left. We have enough, but much of that's going to be saved for the portal season. You don't want to go give an OV opportunity out there for a high school guy that you know is going to go elsewhere. You just don't have the time and effort to do that. We do have two official visitors this weekend. We talked about Joseph Skipworth, who's currently committed to Kansas out of Florida, a tight end prospect. He will be in. And then Caleb Bell, a guy that Mississippi State fans really thought would pick State over Arkansas back during the June official visits. He takes an official visit to Arkansas, commits to them, cancels the visit to Mississippi State. Well, now he and his family are headed to Starkville this weekend. And he's a big-time player. Really like this guy a lot. And we need help along the defensive front from the portal, from the JUCO ranks, and from high school, wherever we can get it. We got to pull kids out of the stands. What we got to do. But so two official visitors and a great group of unofficial visitors heading in this weekend too. And so we'll have full coverage of those official visits on Sunday. And we'll look ahead. Maybe some new offers are extended. A lot of that too, you get guys in, you want to see them, right? You want to be able to see if they pass the looks test. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, everybody, you look on the roster and everybody's 6'2", 220 pounds and runs a 4.5 40, right? And then when you meet them and they're like, oh, well, the guy's 5'10 and, you know, weighs 170 and runs a 5 flat. You know, so you got a chance to eyeball these guys. You get them on campus and then you invite them back. And, of course, official visits for 2026 guys will begin next year. You know, but you're already beginning to kind of see this staff really kind of transition. We've got to finish up what we can find in the prep and JUCO ranks and then head to the portal. And then we'll see what the team looks like in January. And then, of course, the next thing you know, the new recruiting cycle is here. It never ends. And so, yes, we have had some decommitments and all of them have come on defense. And I think that's an important aspect, too. But the reality of it is recruiting classes are best judged once they're finalized. You know, there's always some ebb and flow with this. And, of course, we recently had some updates to the rankings. Mississippi State currently 31st in the country in the national rankings. And so I think we have a chance to push top 25, need some things to go right for us. But losing Mario Nash, not ideal, right? Losing Austin Howard, not ideal. But and certainly losing Koa Henry, not ideal. Steve Miller. So we've had, you know, four decommits here recently. But the reality of it is you got to win games. You know, you can come in here and tell everybody how good you're going to be, but the proof is in the pudding. You got to win football games, and that's where Mississippi State is right now. And so hopefully we can string some wins together here down the stretch for sure. All that understood, it's game day eve in Starkville, Mississippi. Final reminder about this, Junction Jam tonight at 7. So if you're in Starkville, some entertainment, some free entertainment, your first look at your Bulldogs, and open practice tomorrow, noon to 1. And, of course, Mississippi State soccer team tonight, Magnolia Cup against Ole Miss and Oxford. And so plenty of you to kind of keep you abreast. And then the Mississippi State baseball scrimmages have that right here in front of us here. Scrimmage times for baseball today at 3:30. Sunday at 1:30, Monday at 3:30. So I will miss Friday and Sunday, but Mike Nemeth will be there, and then I'll be back at Duty Noble on Monday for the 3:30 scrimmage. We encourage you to come out and enjoy a big weekend with us here in Starkville, Mississippi. We all know you love Mississippi State. And reminder, I'm signing books from around 4 o'clock until the end of the Unwind event downtown at Book Martin Cafe. Tomorrow, I'll be back at Book Martin Cafe, 9:30 to 1. And then on Sunday, I'll be at Book Martin Cafe 11 to 3. So three signings at Book Martin Cafe for book release weekend. The Dude is now available, and we look forward to reading your reviews about that book that I have labored over for the last 11 months. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. But listen, whatever's wrong in your life, I hope that you find a way to fix it, and that God will bless you and yours. And you have a great weekend, even if you're not with us in Starkville. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.